Welcome to Keeping It Real with Frankie D, the very first Italian-American podcast and the home of your Italian-American moment. I am your very proud host, Frankie D, and we can be heard at ItalianAmericanLife.com, on iTunes, Stitcher, your podcast app. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and connect with us on LinkedIn. Today, my guest is an Italian culinary expert and a judge on the Food Network's Iron Chef America, Mario Rizzotti. Mario.
Buongiorno, buonasera for whatever and whenever you're
listening to us. E buon pomeriggio pure.
That's correct.
Thank you for being here. It's a pleasure to have you.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm sorry we tried to do this a lot, but finally we made it happen.
That's okay. You're very busy, and I can't wait for you to basically educate us about Italian food, which, you know what, Italian food is a complicated subject.
It's a huge question mark.
It really is.
And it's shaped like our country. It's a boot, right? There is a lot of knowledge that a lot of people, especially, and sad to say, many of us, actually, Italian ourselves, we don't know the truth behind the product.
You're very right about that.
You know, there is a lot of behind the scene. My grandmother used to buy this. And when I tell the people that company is not Italian anymore, but the product is not Italian anymore, they look at me like if I shredded the miserable dreams of the grandmothers. But things are evolving in Italy every day, and it's 2020, so you know better than me that there is more and more things are changing in our country as well.
And the truth is the truth, and products and meaning behind them, I know that in Italy, they take it very seriously.
Finally, they are, although I speak a lot of time with many times with American Italians, and they come to me, but you know, I don't believe this anymore because they put inside whatever they want. Well, regulations have changed in Italy a lot. The Italian IRS, or better known as Guardia di Finanza, is cracking down a lot on this fake product. So let's say that they might be partially right, but on the other hand, many, many things right now are under control of the government, and there is no as easier way to get away from it like it used to be.
Tell us, where are you from in Italy?
I was born and raised in Roma. I spent my life within Roma and Gaeta, a small town south of Rome, where you might have heard the Gaeta olives, which are between the best olives available in Italy. And therefore, I spent a lot of time there. I came in this country after I lost my father. And then my very first job's experience were as a waiter and as a bus. First, I started as a dishwasher in Glenview, Illinois. And then I also had the pleasure to go on Harlem Avenue to work with my friends in a small restaurant next to Pasta Fresh and also at Pasta Fresh. So there was a lot of experience where we started from. And then after that, you know, little by little, I decided not to remain a dishwasher anymore. So,
but you've always been in the culinary industry.
I've always been attached to the culinary industry because when I came in this country, I saw a lot of Italian flags everywhere, but I could not find a lot, or at least what has suited my taste of Italian cuisine and Italian ingredients.
Very good.
So I decided somebody's got to do it.
Absolutely.
There is 50 states, and we have 52 weeks a year, so I might be busy.
That's for sure. Did you come to the Chicago area? Do you have relatives here?
I came here, long story short, to come and see my brother, which we missed each other at that point. And then I was at this restaurant owner's house that he used to work for. And I came here for vacation, but then it ended up that they gave me an American passport.
Very good. Please tell me about your experience as a judge on the Food Network's, the Iron Chef America.
Well, you know, I was, I wouldn't say I was lucky enough because a lot of people use the word too easily. I think I earned my spot on Iron Chef because I was in an event after training several chefs in my life about olive oil, balsamic vinegar, and prosciutto and parmigiano. One of the chefs that I had the pleasure to spend a lot of time with was Art Smith. He used to be Oprah's Winfrey chef. He does a lot of work also with Lady Gaga right now. And one of his parties at his house, for which I was invited, there was a launch of the cookbook of Giada De Laurentiis. And cutting the story very short, in this beautiful garden of Art Smith's house, he introduced me to a gentleman, and he was pushing the idea. He's so knowledgeable. He's such a great person. He has a great personality, an Italian accent. He should be a judge on Iron Chef. And I'm looking at this guy in front of me, and I'm thinking, whatever. But it ended up to be not whatever. It ended up almost like the story from Tom Cruise, right? He was a bartender, and then he became an actor. So therefore, here is my story. After that, I was asked to become a judge on Iron Chef. I did put the business card inside my chef jacket that I was wearing, and the chef jacket went to the dry cleaners. So I never called these people, but these people called me 2 weeks later and says, hey, we asked you to be a judge on Iron Chef. What happened? And then I say, well, who are you? I say, my name is so-and-so. I'm the vice president of the Food Network. And so I say, okay, I'm coming. And first time I got into Iron Chef, I did one episode in the season. The second year that I worked with them was 2 episodes. And then 6 episodes for a long time. I stopped taping about 1.5 years ago, but also I'm changing and going to different directions with the TV show.
Was it difficult judging the contestants?
That was fun for me. You are basically sitting down in one of the best restaurants in the United States every time. You're having 10 meals that they are going to be guaranteed to blow you away, because like my good friend Mark Dacascos says all the time, we go there with an empty stomach and an open mind. And therefore, we tried many things that might not sound good to people that they are listening right now, so I won't mention it to you. But you have to try everything as you need to try everything. I don't like when people come to me, oh, I tell them, did you try that? Oh, no, I don't like it. Did you try it? No, I didn't try it, but I don't like it. So how do you know?
How do you know you don't,
you don't like it?
Did absolutely.
You try it? So, but on Iron Chef was a great experience. I've been called the Johnny Appleseed of Italian cuisine, culinary expert nationwide, an olive oil expert, which I am, balsamic vinegar expert, which I am. And therefore, a lot of great experience came out from the show.
Well, that's great. That's great. And I want you to tell us, because I heard you speak at a demonstration at my favorite place that we're at right now, Pasta Fresh,
yes,
on 3814 North Harlem Avenue in Chicago. And they had a demonstration with food. And you spoke about what is real as speaking of made in Italy, packed in Italy,
yes,
produced in,
yes,
Italy.
Yes.
All these things to the consumer who doesn't have the knowledge, they see Italy and I think they just think, okay, it's got to be good.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
there is a huge difference between all these sayings. Okay. And you gave a great speech that day. And besides your knowledge, I could see the passion in your voice when you talked about this. And I'm a big believer in when you do things that you love, you do them good.
Yes, that's my passion.
Absolutely.
My passion is educating people in this beautiful country to understand, like I say as a joke all the time, the difference between a Ferrari and a red car. They're both red, but they don't have the same engine and the same point of view on the expressway. So therefore, yes, if you are listening right now and you have also a lot of passion for Italian ingredients, then you can definitely incorporate them also in non-Italian cuisine. Please be aware, and what I'm telling you is not a judgment of quality, but just to make you understand what you are having in your house. So if a product has a label that says made in Italy, packed in Italy, or imported from Italy, it is a 99.9% that the product is not 100% Italian.
Because they're not lying. There.
Because they're not lying. They're telling us the truth. It's just that we're not reading the label properly. So packed in Italy, the product has been packed in the country of Italy. We can go to Italy from California. It's not cost effective. Bring our olive oil. Bring it there. We can pack it there. On the label, we can write down the product is packed in Italy. Many olive oil these days, balsamic vinegars, they are packed in Italy, but they're not Italians. Made in Italy, the product is assembled in the country of Italy. If many of you listeners have been to Italy and they've been there and they travel throughout the country, think about it. For example, how many cotton fields have you seen where people can pick cotton and make clothes out of it, right? Zero. So how do we make all these Armani or these clothes? Those are all made in Italy, but the material is coming from a different country. So the assembling part of it is there.
That is true. I never thought of it like that.
Packed in Italy is the same thing imported from Italy. By law, if you ship something from Italy, no matter where it's made, you can actually put on the label the sign imported from Italy. That means it is the last country that it's been shipped from before it came to the United States. But it's not necessarily Italian. And it doesn't mean please listen carefully. It doesn't mean that if you buy a product that says made in Italy is not good, or if it says packed in Italy is not good. If it suits your taste, I still want you to buy it. I'm here not to judge what you buy. I'm here to educate you to understand what you buy. Because, after all, I don't want you to spend the money for something that is not Italian when you pay the Italian money for it. That's not fair towards the consumer. But overall, there are products that you cannot buy in the United States unless they are produced here, for example. I'll give you an example. Italian sausage. Any piece of Italian sausage, I guarantee you right now, over the phone, over the radio, over wherever you are, that there is not one piece of Italian sausage that is coming directly from Italy in this country and it's sold here. USDA does not allow anything under the form of Italian sausage in this country. Only recently, some of the salami, for example, have been allowed to be exported to this country, product of Italy, but very few of them, because there are so many rules and regulations that they need to follow, that many other producers, they even give up to try to get it.
It's kind of amazing, though, that they go to such lengths to get that Italy involved in the description of the product, because I'm assuming that means that food in Italy goes so hand in hand that people are, you know, are willing to pay because they see the word Italy. But so these manufacturers go to these lengths to somehow, like you said, maybe ship it there to pack it and then send it out because it's such a powerful weapon.
Italy. Italians are great marketers. You know, there is great olive oil in Italy. There is great olive oil in Greece and Portugal or Spain. They all have great olive oils. The Italians are doing the best to advertise. Italy is the only country on the planet that has the highest percentage, highest number of variety of olives available in one country. And we're talking about over 300. So therefore, we are good marketers. We're doing a good job. But going back to the olive oil also, again, and going back to the fact, not because it's Italian, it's the best, but there is no such a thing as, oh, this is the best olive oil. This is the best wine. You cannot compare wine with wine. You need to be more specific. And you cannot compare, oh, Italian olive oil is better than Greek olive oil, or vice versa for our Greek listener, that they can be a little proud.
Are there any? Okay.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
But jokes aside, yeah. The funny part is that, you know, there is no such a thing as the best of the best, because you got to compare the same olives. They have to be made with the same olives, most likely in the same soil. So it's very hard to really define. But I came to a conclusion, unfortunately, that what people claim that they abuse of the word, this is the best, I think is a word very much abused. I think that they should say, this is what suits my taste.
True.
Because sometimes I myself like some chocolate, for example, that is not the best. But, you know, it is good for me. I like it. You know what I mean?
Very
so
true.
So people come, oh, this is the best. When I see these reviews on this restaurant, this best, the best, the best, best of what? I went to try and I was like, this stuff is not even close to be the best, but it suits your taste. I'm happy for you. But that's why I have a lot of work to do in this country.
Sure, definitely, definitely. So as consumers, what would be the best label that would tell us it's real?
Correct. You know, we talk about a made in Italy, packed in Italy, and imported from Italy, but we forget to tell the consumer that the product of Italy, is Italian. So if it says product of, for any country, even product of USA is American, made in USA, it is assembled in the United States. So it's funny enough, product of Italy is Italian. And again, to all the listeners, it's not about the best quality. It's about what's Italian and what's not. Then you can make your choice.
Oh, very true.
You know, so if it suits your taste, something else that says made in Italy, please buy it. But be aware, it's not Italian.
No, that's true. And I think as an Italian American, I'm from here. I know that if it's produced in Italy, it typically tends to be very good. It's good quality. It's real. I'm okay with that, with a lot of different products from Italy.
There is also another thing you want to take in consideration. By law, Italy and other European countries are still non-GMO country by law. So they cannot have any GMO products available. So if you want to go to Italy and have your child enjoy a nice seedless watermelon, you gotta teach your kids what our parents taught us. You gotta eat it and spit the seeds if you don't want a watermelon to grow in your stomach. That's it. Nice and easy.
That's so right. Definitely.
It's all about quality. Quality, yes, it is different. You know, Frank, question to you. How many times you have people coming from Italy they come to you. I love your country, beautiful country. I was there. I love this product. I came here. Nothing tastes the same because you don't get the same. That is why you got to read carefully the label and make sure that if you really want the same food experience, you got to look at your label and see what the product is produced, what's in it. Just pay 2 extra minutes of attention to your product and you'll be surprised to see that there is a huge difference. Sometimes they don't ship here what they have there.
Now, DOC is something else?
DOC is something that has been modified a while ago. Before it was wine and balsamic. But DOC is only for wines now. DOC, DOCG, for the listener, DOC means Denomination of Origin Controlled. And then DOCG is the denomination of origin control geographically. That means that it's not only from Italy, but from a specific geographic area. But that is only for wines.
For wines.
It used to be for a while also for balsamic vinegar, for wines. But now what we use is called DOP.
Which means?
Denomination of Origin Protect. If you have an American label, we'll say PDO, Protected Denomination of Origin. So therefore, that will tell you that that product has been, let's say, olive oil. The olive were picked there, pressed there, filtered there, bottled there, shipped from there. Everything came from the specific area, specific region, specific spot where it's been actually being made that way with a lot of artisan heart and traditions.
So when you're speaking of wine, if it says DOC, it is from Italy.
First of all, the wine companies were very, very first to always say it's product of Italy on their label. They were the very first in any kind of business to say that. Then it started to transmit into the food business because, thanks to the Food Network, thanks to your podcast, thanks to many events or to many things on TV, people opened up their eyes and learned more. Because one thing, remember, Frank, I'm Italian, proud of it, and I'm now also an American passport and then American. But one thing I really hate when I go to Italy, and I say hate, it's a strong word, because when I go to Italy, they say, oh, American people don't understand. No, American people do understand. American people are willing to learn. But American people have learned from somebody else that taught them this. In Italy, you know better than me. There is no fettuccine Alfredo like we make here.
No.
There is no chicken Vesuvio. There is no meatballs and pasta, marinara,
no sauce,
Italian
sandwiches.
Beef, Caesar salad.
No.
Garlic is used to give flavor to food, not to keep the vampires away. And, you know, it's just like, you know, sometimes these traditions are respected by me, but it's a tradition of adaptation. Our ancestors, when they came here, they had to adapt themselves to what they found here. Italian diet, it is based on 70% of vegetables. And here, what do we know? Italian beef, Italian sausage, meatballs. That's the last thing that we probably can find in a healthy Mediterranean Italian home.
Absolutely. Even the most famous product of all, pizza.
That's it. That's
pizza in Italy is not the pizza we're eating in Chicago and New York and California and everywhere in between. There are all different kinds. I'm a Chicagoan. There is a Chicago style pizza.
We can do a New York 17 podcast about this.
Absolutely.
So
Italy, there's Italian pizza and then there's Neapolitan pizza, which
so
is maybe
we
the
have
more.
Roman pizza, we have Neapolitan, we have Pinsa, P-I-N-C-A-S-A. Actually, in Chicago, they just opened a great pizza place on Ohio, east of Michigan Avenue. And my friend Adam is the owner. It's called L'Aventino. They do an amazing job.
What's pizza?
Pizza is a more crunchier, fluffier version of a Roman pizza, where you use a specific kind of flour as well. And then also the levitation of the product is completely done a different way. But, Frank, I mean, besides tell the viewers, the listener to go, we should go. And I'll introduce you to that nice past pizza that is Bonci. It opened up right on Randolph.
That's a Roman. I've heard of
it. So that one is also nice and crunchy and fluffy. But again, there is so many different kind of variety of products there that is said enough. Here, we only know what our ancestors knew when they came here in the 1800s. And unfortunately, things have evolved. Things have changed.
Absolutely.
And yes, guys, there is McDonald's in Italy, but McDonald's have pasta. You know, so yes, there is Starbucks in the opening one in Vatican City.
They're actually
right
opening
now.
Quite a few Starbucks,
yeah.
I believe.
So, but again, it's just like everything is getting, globalized. But I think that our tradition, if you have any kind of Italian heritage in you, please keep up the the tradition. I try very hard myself, not with the tradition, but with the Italian language. It's very hard, but try to do your best, because it is the only way that your kids can learn it through you.
Oh, I'm a big fan of that, a big proponent of that. The Italian language is the key to the Italian culture, is the key to our traditions. It's the key to everything.
And don't forget also that the best way that Italians enjoy family time is around food. If you look at my website, MarioRizzotti.com, you will see that there is a motto there that says, in Italy, a meal is not a consumption of food. It's a celebration of dolce vita.
So true.
We enjoy our life, we have a good time, and then we actually have a nice, beautiful experience at the table. And as you already probably know, at lunchtime, we're already talking about what are we having for dinner.
So. Absolutely. Tell us about the products you sell.
Oh, I go to Italy. I handpick a bunch of products that they are products of Italy, and that are either available in this country, but very poor quality, so I bring a better quality, or they're even better quality in general. Actually, right here, we are inside one of my biggest customers, which is still Pasta Fresh, where they carry my artichokes, olives, and truffle sauce. For example, the only truffle sauce with 15% truffles in it, because usually it's mushrooms and a little bit of truffles. I put 15% of it, and people enjoy it on their pasta. We also have a limoncello jelly, something different, right? Mm. We have you do your cheese platter, and you like to put honey and balsamic and walnuts. Well, I create a honey balsamic walnuts, so it's ready for you to go. And especially for the Super Bowl Sunday, I think it's a great idea to put it on your table. And again, there's many more products, like a nice good pesto with 33% basil. Many of them, and extra virgin olive oil only. Many of them have little basil and everything else as a filler. So whatever suits your taste, I want you to buy. But if you want to buy something that is closer as much as Italy, I think that the brand that I use also is called Antichi Sapori Umbri. From Umbria, they do an amazing job on actually bringing in the United States through me all these high quality products.
Great. So people can find it on your website, MarioRizzotti.com.
That's correct.
At stores like Pasta Fresh in Chicago on Harlem Avenue.
Correct.
Beautiful.
And there's not too many places I sell it, to be honest with you, store-wise, because many of them are restaurants, and the other ones, I need to rely in stores where people believe in the product and they push the product. Because the easiest thing to do in America is to put a product on a shelf. But the hardest thing is to see the product moving, because nobody, in quotes, understands the product.
No, that's great. I respect that of you.
You have
convictions.
If you walk in here, Tony is going to make you walk out with something in your hands.
I always say, this is my home away from home. I love it here. The atmosphere is great, and the people are great. The Bartucci family.
You come here, they're amazing. They guest me for 3 years in a row when I was alone in this country. That was a big experience. That's why I do the events here. But it's funny. You walk in to buy one thing, and Tony, make sure you get out of here with 60. and you all enjoy them anyway.
Well, definitely. Well, Mario, thank you so much for the interview, but also thank you for being such a wonderful ambassador from Italy to the United States.
Thank you.
For beyond food, but just for the culture, for the people, for the ways. You're a great example.
Your compliments are very welcome, because I get goosebumps, as you can see, because I try very hard. I think that although I will retire doing this, I don't think we're going to have enough time to keep going. But as long as people understand the difference in a product, that is already a great achievement to me. Then after that, again, unfortunately, there is a lot of fake stuff out there. Yes, dear listener, you are right. But if you look carefully at the labels these days, they're so stricter that they definitely can guarantee you a little bit more than they used to actually guarantee you before. And hopefully there was a good learning lesson for you today.
Older I get, the more I think about what I put in my body, in the food, in the wine. I want the best. Why am I being cheap on that? Listen, so I could buy a better sweater? Who cares about the sweater? I'd rather have good food and good wine. It's much more important.
You know, good wine, no offense, $3, Chuck. I mean, like, what can we get for that amount of wine?
Right.
And about the money. I mean, unless you want to just feed yourself with something that's going to give you eventually cancer in the future.
Exactly.
That's also, unfortunately, what it is. Even if the times are rough, still buy the same good quality and just get yourself a little blessed, but don't substitute your good quality with cheaper quality, because it won't get you.
And I think there's a lot of very good wines for pretty inexpensive that come from Italy. So when I see it's from Italy, DOC, I'd rather have that. I don't want one that just says Italian wine.
Also, if it says product of Italy, you should go for it.
Yes.
Because they are Italian. There is a stricter regulation on that side of it. But I also suggest you, again, to incorporate anything that you see, although it's an Italian product, try to incorporate it also in non-Italian recipe. I mean, a whole peeled tomatoes is not good only for an Italian tomato sauce. Although I have somebody on the other side of our microphones right now is telling us, gravy, it's sauce, it's this, that's like, you know, it's tomato sauce. It's sugo, actually. That's how we call it in Italy.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to educate people day after day. Oh. And if they come to my website, pretty soon we're going to see more and more videos where you're going to get some education on how to taste olive oil professionally, how to taste balsamic, how to recognize Parmigiano Reggiano from Parmesan cheese, which Parmesan is. It's not a happier reproduction or imitation of Parmigiano Reggiano, which in the history we found them about 800 years ago, the first production of this sort of, you know, that's it.
Well, that's great. Well, Mario, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, and thank you for what you do, and keep doing it, please.
My pleasure.
Okay.
Thank you very much for having me, and hopefully we can do more episodes. And actually, let's see if the listeners are happy we do an episode only on olive oil.
That would be great. I would love that. Thank you.
That would be my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you to the listeners, and remember, stay proud.
Ciao a tutti.
Se Taormina è il più bel fiore di Sicilia, c'è la Sardegna, paradiso in mezzo al blu. Ma c'è un'isola che desta meraviglia, si chiama Capri e non si scorda più. Poi Napoli, Sorrento e così via, l'Italia è un souvenir di simpatia. Amore, pizze ed allegria, che bella l'Italia, incanto d'arte e poesia. Il mare come compagnia, che bella l'Italia, un sogno nella realtà, l'Italia è questa qua. C'è Venezia che sorride a tutto il mondo, come una donna sempre ti innamorerà. Roma eterna visitata dalla gente per le bellezze e per l'antichità. Firenze quell'artistica città che mai nessuno al mondo scorderà. Amore, pizza ed allegria, che bella Italia, incanto d'arte e poesia. Quando c'è la luna piena a Portofino, del vino bianco la ragazza insieme a te, può cambiare in quell'istante il tuo destino, perché un amore più splendido non c'è. I laghi, le montagne e così via, l'Italia sembra tanta fantasia. Amore, pizza ed allegria, che bella l'Italia, incanto d'arte e poesia. Che bella l'Italia, il mare come compagnia. Che bella l'Italia, un sogno nella realtà, l'Italia è questa qua. La 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 la, che bella Italia, la 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 la. stop for.